right, y'all. Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here. Welcome to Second Baptist Church. If we have any guests in person or online, I want to say a special welcome to you. We'd love to connect with you. There's one of two ways we can do that. One way, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you'd fill that information out, you can leave it there in the pew, or you can leave it at the offering plate as we leave today. Or if you've joined us online, we want to say a special welcome to you. You can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new, and you can fill that information out. And again, it's a way for us to connect with you and know who's worshiping with us today. Well, if you'll excuse me, I've got several announcements I need to bring to your attention, a few things to talk about and make you aware of. And so if you'll bear with me this morning, first of all, I know several, we've sent out prayer requests and some information about it, but baby Silas Cantrell has arrived, albeit a little early, at least according to all the due date, all that sort of thing. But thank the Lord that both Kelsey and Silas are doing well, and Tyler too, but we know we're most concerned about Kelsey and Silas, and all are doing well. Kelsey has been released from the hospital. And baby Silas is at the NICU at Children's Hospital. And so just want to make you aware of that. So with that, there will be no baby shower this afternoon. If you'll excuse my pointing, there is a table set up out here in the foyer. If you want to bring your gift, or maybe you brought it this morning, you can place it out there. Also, they are saying that although Silas is doing extremely well, especially considering according to her due date, nearly 8 weeks early. He's very good size for how early he was and development-wise, all that sort of thing. But with that, the early projection is that he will likely be there at Children's until his, quote, original due date. So that's early May. So that means several weeks there. Thank the Lord that Tyler and Kelsey were approved to be able to be there and stay at the Ronald McDonald House, very close to the Children's Hospital. And so they will be spending a lot of time there, going back and forth to the hospital to see the baby. So just want to make you aware of a few things with that. There is only Tyler and Kelsey, and then the two grandmoms are approved to go back. Nobody else can go back. And so I know that will bring great detriment to you, that you want to rush up there and go hold the baby, and I'm sure they wish that you were able to do that as well. But obviously, for his best health and care, they have strong restrictions on that. So we still want to do what we can to minister to Tyler and Kelsey, especially during this time. And so there's going to be some traveling back and forth, and obviously they're displaced from their home for several weeks. And so most importantly, continue to pray for them. And I know they are extremely grateful. We were able to see them Friday night. They are very, very grateful for all of you who have called, texted, gone by and checked on them, all that sort of thing. Very, very grateful. So please continue to pray for them. You can pray for Kelsey's continued recovery, and then also pray for Silas. He is now off of oxygen, which is a great step. He does still have a feeding tube, and the next step is to get to where he's able to feed on his own. And so they're working with him to be able to get to that stage. And so you can be praying about that and praying for his continued health and development. And so thank you for that. If you want to help further support them, you can, one of the ways that we've put out and told folks is, either a food gift card or a gift card, a Visa gift card or something, just to help with gas of going back and forth. You can at any time in our normal office hours bring that by, leave that at the office. You can bring it in on a Sunday. Obviously, they're going to be there, looks like, for the next several weeks. And so, anyway, continue to pray for them. And I know that's a lot, but I knew a lot of people had a lot of questions and all that kind of thing. So I wanted to do the best I could to update everybody on their situation, okay? And so, but praise the Lord, he's here. All things considered, he's healthy and doing well, so continue to pray for him. Let me make you aware of a few other things happening and coming up. Obviously, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and so we're excited. It's always a incredible Sunday to worship together. We are been putting some things out there to try to help invite our neighbors, our community, come in and be a part of our Easter Sunday services. One of the ways that you can be a part of that is we have some yard signs that has church information, all that kind of thing, and they're absolutely free. And they are set out here next to the doors. And so as you leave today, please, they don't do us any good sitting here. And so if you'll take one, or if you want to take two, maybe you live on a corner and you want to post on both sides or whatever the case is, take one of those and put those in your yard this week, and just a way to invite neighbors and let the community know about our services on that Sunday. The other thing that we're doing is we are offering next week pictures. I know it's fun to get dressed up for a lot of folks on Easter Sunday, and so we're offering a family photo or an individual photo to anybody and everybody. The plan is for us to set up with that in the fellowship hall, and going to have a place there, and Daniel Breedlove is going to help us with that. And so anybody and everybody, we're going to start before Sunday school. If you want to come early and not deal with standing in line or any of that sort of thing, you can come a little bit early. Should be ready by 9 o'clock, and I'll send some more of information out through email this week, but 9 o'clock, planning to start that all the way up to Sunday school, and then we'll plan to have him down there just for a few minutes in between Sunday school and the beginning of service, and then, of course, after service. And I want to encourage as many of our folks that are able to, especially you come to Sunday school, if you can come by a little bit early and take that picture, that will help a lot for those afterwards. And here's what we're doing with this. Everybody who takes their picture, Daniel's going to help us get you a free digital copy. It doesn't cost you anything or anything like that. But one thing we are offering is a chance to order a canvas print of your photo. And that costs $25. And we understand not everybody may be able to do that. But with that $25, it's going to buy one and give one. And what we want to do is all of our first-time guests next week, we're going to offer them same thing and go and have your photo taken, and then we're going to give them a free canvas photo. We'll get those in, but that'll give us a chance to go back and follow up and visit for all of our first-time guests for next Sunday. And so just want to make you aware of that, make plans for that. And again, I'll plan to send out an email with all those details for next week. And then the only other thing mentioned to you is obviously the eclipse happening in April 8th, I believe, is the date. And we are getting ready in the time now of trying to raise support for our Ghana mission trip. And so we've done some things to allow folks to come in and make a donation, be able to get a parking spot to be able to see. We've had a lot of calls over the last several months, honestly, just inquiring, asking about this. And so on our website, we've got it set up where folks want to come and they want a place to be able to park and view the eclipse or doing that. And all of those funds that come in for that, they're going to go help support the mission work with going to Ghana and with that team. And so just want to make you aware of that. Okay, there's other information in your bulletin. I know that's been a lot this morning, a lot to talk about, and I try not to make our announcement time that long, but there were some important things for us to discuss this morning. Well, this Sunday is Palm Sunday, and just thinking about Jesus and Him beginning what we refer to as the Holy Week, and Him entering into Jerusalem, and honestly continuing that march toward the cross and toward Calvary. And so this morning I thought it'd be fitting for us as we just get ready to focus on our time to sing to the Lord, to worship the Lord, to hear from His Word. Thought I would share with you from Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, 10, 11. It says, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out," as Jesus is entering into the holy city there, He said, the people were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of God. Blessed He is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when He had come into the Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." For our Savior came into the city, and they were crying out, although not fully understanding the celebration, the preparation, and what is to come. I'm excited about Easter Sunday and the celebration of that, but also knowing that, man, today, Jesus clearly, so many years ago, clearly had his eyes fixed on the cross and knew where he was headed, knew why he was doing it. And so, man, let's worship the Lord Jesus today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to sing together. God, you are good and gracious and kind and merciful, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And God, I pray that, God, you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. And Lord, I pray that, God, you'd help us to fix our eyes on you, and that we would sing Hosanna to the King and lift up your name and you be glorified. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be free from distraction. Help us to, man, just totally focus on you and what you've done for us and how good and gracious and kind you are. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed?
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory. Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. Tis all that I can. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Everyone needs compassion. Love never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
A wonderful truth. As we think about Jesus conquering the grave, even as we think about Palm Sunday and He triumphantly enters Jerusalem, His triumph was at the end of the week when He died on the cross, and the beginning of the next week when He walked from the tomb alive and well. As we sing this song, Turn Your Eyes, it's a familiar song to us because we think about Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, that familiar hymn. But there's a chorus that's added to this. And this song is meant for us to focus our eyes not just on the cross, but on what Jesus did for us nearly 2,000 years ago. Sing with us. Turn your eyes.
Was erased. Jesus. our glory and our pride. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn, fear of death is gone, for we carry his life. Down.
Amen. I am grateful to be back with you this morning. I am grateful that both Pastor Jonathan and Brother Jim able to fill in and in my absence, and just grateful for their faithfulness to the Word of God to preach. I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but I'm pretty stingy with the pulpit. I don't let just anybody come and preach, and so I'm grateful that these men of God have done just that, and thankful for their faithfulness. And I thank God that He has allowed our church to be blessed by Pastor Jonathan, and he's just such a faithful servant, humble, loves Jesus, loves this church, and I am so grateful for him, for his friendship, for his service, and our church is blessed by the ministry that God allows him to serve here and has called him here. And so let me just encourage you, just as you think of it, go by, hug his neck, and just say, hey, I thank God for you, and be a source of an encouragement, and give him a cup of cold water. And just refresh his soul. And so I'm thankful for him and thankful for Brother Jim coming and preaching the Word of God. And I know you're blessed by him and what God laid on his heart. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 17. And let me ask you this, have you ever had anybody make this statement or ask this question of how can a loving God send people to hell? Anybody ever had that? Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. It's sometimes a difficult question. Sometimes people are saying it in an antagonistic way as if they've already made up their mind and they're just looking for a fight. But there are a lot of people who ask the question that have the genuine question, the genuine curiosity to how do they wrestle with that? How do they handle that? How do we look at the God of the Bible and we just say, man, this incredible hymn of when I survey the cross and man, just what incredible lyrics written just to draw us to the cross and the sacrifice that is there. We go, how do we wrestle with that? And then that hell is real and it is eternal. How do we deal with that knowing that people spend eternity there? And so we're going to try to answer that question in our from the text this morning. And so John chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 17. Read 17, 18, and 19. If you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you that mercy and justice met at Calvary. And God, I do pray, even now, that God, that the cross would pour contempt on all my pride. And that God in heaven, you would speak to us now through your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray you would speak right to the depth of our heart this morning. You would convict us, you would instruct us, you would train us, you would encourage us. I pray that you, Spirit of God, would do exactly what each one of us needs in our heart and in our life this morning. God, help us to respond in obedience to you and to your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, obviously, a few weeks ago, we spent 3 weeks just on John 3:16 and looking at this salvation that God has provided and talking at length and digging into, man, just all the different phrases and the meaning and the significance of John 3:16. And I can assure you, we didn't even begin to really scratch the surface. There's so much that's there, but we must move on. And so I'm preaching to you a message this morning that I've titled Condemned. Condemned. The main idea of the text this morning is people condemn themselves, not God. People condemn themselves, not God. Now, we began with this question of how can a loving God send people to hell, and a good preacher or good communicator kind of holds you in balance with that and then doesn't let the cat out of the bag till the end. I'm not very good at that. So this is the main idea of the text, is that people condemn themselves, not God. Now, hold on. I'm going to show you from the Word of God where it clearly lays that out, and it's not just my opinion, okay? So then, here's the question then I want us to ask this morning. Are you condemned? Are you condemned? It's a question we need to think about, we need to wrestle with. The Bible even tells us, says, "Man, work out your own salvation and wrestle with that, think through that, be ready." And so there's some truths from the text this morning I want us to see. And so number one, condemnation happens in spite of God's efforts. Condemnation happens in spite of God's effort. And so if we take the context of verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, now let's look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what is the text doing here? It's giving us in some ways the flip side. It has said it in the affirmative. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And now in verse 17, it's given us the flip side, if you will, of that, and saying God didn't send his son to condemn the world. He didn't send his son so that men, women, boys, and girls would know how terrible they are and they're just all going to die and go to hell. That's not why God sent his son Jesus. He says God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here's what you need to hear this morning. God did everything he could so that you and I could have a saving relationship with his son Jesus. He did everything. He gave his very best. He gave all that he had when he gave his son Jesus. And so if we're going to answer the question, how can a loving God send people to hell, we got to start with this reality. Verse 16, for God so loved the world, he was so moved with love for you and I that he gave his son Jesus. Verse 17, God didn't send him to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God has done everything he possibly could that every man, woman, boy, and girl ever to live could have a saving relationship with him. That Jesus entered nearly some 2,000 years ago into Jerusalem, held as a king because they thought he was going to be this political overthrow of Rome, but he has his eyes fixed on Calvary. He knows that the full wrath of God is going to be poured out on him for my sin and for your sin. He knows that that is coming. And he does it for me and for you. And the Father knew the pain and anguish and the difficulty and just the tragedy, if you will, of the moment, and yet God still sent him. Jesus would say in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus given you the purpose in which he came. He didn't say, I didn't come so that I could live this life and live this perfect life and get to the end of my life and go, hey, this is how it was supposed to be done. Sorry about your bad luck. Now you're all condemned to hell. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come and go, hey, let me lay out the model for you. Let me live this perfect life. Now if you'll just go and do what I did, then you'll be fine. No, because he knew that we could not do that. But rather, he goes to the cross, he goes to Calvary, he offers himself up, and tetelestai, paid in full, that he is the perfect propitiation, he is the perfect offering for your sin and my sin, that we may have a saving relationship, and we could have a relationship with God the Father, and one day experience eternity, and right now experience eternal life by knowing the Son. Why? Because God gave everything and he gave us all when he gave his son Jesus. Condemnation happens in spite of God's efforts. 1 John 4:9-10, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him." Yes, we have the question right. How can a loving God? The question is, the context or the base of the question is that we have a loving God. That is absolutely true. That we do have a loving God that has done everything he could to save me and save you. Verse 10, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Dear friend, you didn't first love God. Dear friend, you didn't have it in you to love God. We're going to talk about our own sinfulness in a moment. But you didn't have it in your nature to first love God. Our first nature is to run from God, be an enemy of God, hate the things of God. And God's not sitting back. He wasn't sitting back going, wait, I want them to make the first step. No, God took the first step. And the second, all the other steps required so that we could have salvation. So condemnation happens, but it's in spite of God's best efforts. Number two, condemnation happens right now. Condemnation happens right now. I want you to notice verse 18. "He who believes in him is not condemned." Do you notice the present tense? That he who believes right now. Hey, and by the way, salvation is not just simply a past tense decision. Yes, it is that October 10th, 2004, I prayed and gave my heart and life to Jesus. I decided then to give my life to him, to repent of my sins. Jesus saved me. But because he did save me, man, I'm believing in him right now. It is a past tense decision, yes, but it's a present tense one as well. And so it says, "He who believes in him is not condemned." And I'm not saying you have to continue to believe to keep your salvation. What I'm telling you is if you have decided, you will continue to believe in him. That's the reality. So he who believes in him is not condemned. But look at this. "But he who does not believe," look at this, "is condemned already." That's present tense. That's right now. Look at this. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, did you notice it did not say why he is condemned? Because he hasn't joined a church. Didn't say that. He's condemned already because he hasn't been baptized. It doesn't say that. It certainly does not say he is condemned already because he believes in Allah. Or he believes in some ancestral God. Or he believes in some spirit worship. Or he believes in his own good efforts. Or he believes that he's got enough good works. No, it says that he is condemned already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. There is one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's at the name of Jesus. And so notice it says that he who believes in him is not condemned, present tense, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already. Why? Because he hasn't believed in the name of the begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. So that means that every individual who has not yet believed in Jesus is condemned. Yes, future tense will happen, but present tense right now, condemned already. Why does that matter? Because it's not that your neighbors or your friends or your coworkers will just one day be separated from God for all eternity. Not just one day that they will die spiritually, but listen very clearly, lean into this. But right now, they are door-nailed dead spiritually. Right now. Condemned already. Some of the old horses used to say this way, that they're dead men walking. And the fact is, of our placating and our wanting to be nice and our southern hospitality and whatever else it is that causes us to think about that, is we tend to look at folks and, well, they still have time, or they're going to be okay, or we'll get to them at this point, or whatever it is. And friends, this ought to create a sense of urgency. This ought to light a fire underneath our tail of looking and thinking about the reality is that your grandchildren, your neighbors, your co-workers, man, the folks across the street, the folks over there in the apartments, the folks over here in the apartments, the neighbor down the road, man, right now they are door-nailed dead, lost spiritually, as far from God as they ever could be. We only tend to think about those that are on death row, that have rebelled against the things of God, to think that they're so far from God spiritually. No, listen, the sweet Southern Belle grandmother that has never bowed her knee to the name of Jesus is as far from God as she could be. Glad I got somebody in the house that agrees. We don't think about this. This flies in the face of some of our ideology that we think, man, they're nice and they're sweet and one day they're going to get there. Man, my hope and prayer is that they do. But listen to me, dear friend. We would charge the throne room of heaven begging for the mercy and grace of God in people's lives more often with more fervency than we ever have if we really believe that Joe down the street is lost on his way to hell and he is condemned already. Right now. I'm afraid we just don't believe that. You think, well, maybe one day he will believe. And my hope and prayer is that he or she will. But the Word of God says, he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen to this picture, John 5, 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Present tense, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Meaning, before they believe on Jesus, they are dead. You were dead without Christ, spiritually, in every sense of the term. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Yes, it is a present tense reality and is a future tense reality as well. And we got to understand that right now, men, women, boys, and girls are under the condemnation of God. And the only thing they have to look forward to is a Christless eternity, separated from God forever in hell. And so what is the drive? What is the passion? Listen to Jude 22 and 23. And some have compassion, making a distinction. Meaning they're motivated by love, okay? And they, but look at verse 23. But others save with fear. Everybody say fear. Try it again. Everybody else. Everybody say fear. And some others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment defiled by the flesh. Do you get this? This is the picture that as you share the gospel and you're passionately share the gospel, somebody repents and believes. The picture is this, is that spiritually they are being lifted up out of the fire of hell. No, listen, don't get this thing confused. This is not hell. Man, I've visited with folks and talked to them about eternity. They say, man, I'm okay because we're living in hell right now. Man, that cannot be further from the truth. The Word of God says that hell is a place of outer darkness, so much darkness you can't see your hand in front of your face. The Bible says that hell is a place of torment. It's a place of fire and brimstone, and it's a bottomless pit falling from eternity. No sense of security, no sense of knowing anybody else, and the picture is to die and to die and to die again. Listen, I realize that things get bad here, but this is not hell. There is a Christless eternity called hell that is a reality as much as heaven is. And you know what? Man, we live in a day and age where there's been soft, limp-wristed preachers who won't preach that hell is real, heaven is sweet, because we get worried about, man, we might offend somebody. I can't talk about hell because that comes across as fear-mongering. Or, you know what, man, listen, there's some folks like me that just need a double dose of being scared of spending eternity without Christ, that sees the love of Christ that happened on the cross and surrenders their heart and life to Him. Say, God, here I am. I know some of you don't agree with this morning, but listen, Jude 22 and 23, some save with compassion while others save with fear. Listen, I understand our motivation to surrender our heart and life to Jesus has to be more than just a set of fire insurance cards, but listen to me. There's been a lot of folks who've been saved that got a Holy Ghost glimpse of the reality of being separated from Christ and go, man, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. It doesn't do me any pleasure. I don't relish in the idea of thinking or talking about hell. But friends, I know this, that it is as much a part of the Bible as heaven is. And we need to talk about the reality of it. Why? Because people are condemned right now. And man, we've got to have some urgency. We've got to have some passion. Man, I want folks to know how sweet it is to know Jesus. I want folks to know that, man, heaven's going to be sweet, that Jesus is there. There's some loved ones that have graduated, gone on to heaven. Man, that reunion's going to be special. But I also need folks to know that if they don't repent, place their faith and trust in Jesus, there is a Christless eternity waiting. And God have mercy that we should keep silent. People spend all eternity separated from Him. Can you imagine? Most of you in this room remember when the barge hit the bridge over in Oklahoma, right? And the bridge, part of it just destroyed. And those, man, terrifying pictures of cars just plummeting off that bridge, especially coming from the Arkansas side because they could not see that part of the bridge was out. Let me tell you what not talking to people about the reality of heaven and hell for a Christian is like. It is as if you knew that the bridge was out and you're standing 5 miles, 10 miles down the road and standing there with your hands in your pockets, watching a car pass you by. And they go off that bridge. That's the equivalence, on a lesser degree, to be honest, of us believers walking by people day in and day out that we know that don't know Christ, and not us not opening our mouth and sharing the gospel. Because, dear friend, I believe every person in this room, or you've been there that day, you would have done everything, and some of you probably would have laid your life on that interstate, laid down in a lane just to try to get a car stopped that they might not drive off that. But dear friend, I'm afraid that our own fear of rejection, or our own fear of not being accepted, our own fear of somebody may get frustrated at me, our own fear of not knowing enough has kept us silent. Folks, people are condemned right now. Number one, condemnation happens in spite of God's best efforts. Number two, condemnation happens right now. And then number three, condemnation happens because of one's individual decisions. Because of a person's individual decision or decisions. Notice verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Okay, he's getting ready to tell you, this is why men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell. That light has come into the world. What's he talking about? Jesus has come. Do you remember John 1? That he makes that reference that Jesus is the light. So he says, light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. But look at this. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Let me just break it down real simply for us. Men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell because they love their sin too much.
That's right. That is right.
The question is, how can a loving God send people to hell? The answer is this, is that a loving God does not send people to hell.
That's right.
People's own sin sends themselves to hell. Nobody will ever spend eternity in hell other than a result of their own choice. And nobody will ever spend eternity in hell that God didn't do everything He could to save them when He sent His Son Jesus. See, there's not a person on this planet that somebody goes out here and if I go out here and commit a heinous crime, I mean awful, and I go and stand before the judge, and the judge says, how do you plead? I plead guilty, Your Honor. He says, okay, well, you're now sentenced. Or even if a jury finds me guilty, you're now sentenced to death penalty or life without parole. There's nobody in their right mind looks at that judge or that jury and go, well, they sent him to prison. No. Whenever I chose to do that heinous crime, that's what sent me there. The same is true for you and I. Any person that spends eternity without Christ, listen to what it says. This is the condemnation. This is what separates men, women, boys, and girls from Christ for all eternity. That light is coming to the world. There it is. There's the reminder that God has done everything He could to save an individual. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The only reason a man or woman will ever die and go to hell is because they love their sin too much. Man, I've been out on the street sharing the gospel with folks, and at times, man, it just they know they're lost without Christ. They know that they need Jesus, that their only hope of salvation is repenting and placing their faith and trust in Christ. They know they need Him, but they won't surrender their heart and life to Him. And there's been times where I've asked individuals going, hey, if you were to die today, they know they'd spend eternity without Christ. I've asked them, what sin is so sweet that it's worth dying and going to hell for? Is it money? Is it drugs? Is it partying? Is it promiscuity? What sin is so sweet that it's worth dying and going to hell for? Is it pride? Is it what others may think? Friend, as I look around this room, I understand that probably the vast majority have repented and placed your faith and trust in Christ. But it may be today, under the preaching of the Word of God, that there's something right here dealing with your heart. And man, it's conviction. That God's been trying to get your attention. He's been trying to wake you up. He's been trying to speak to you. And there's that heaviness. There's that, man, that burden. That, man, just doesn't, something doesn't seem right. And oftentimes it's happened more than once. And it may be that the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, convicting you, going, hey, listen up, you need this. And friend, you have a decision to make. And the decision is, will I repent of my sin and place my faith and trust in Jesus? And choosing not to do so is choosing saying, I love my sin more than I love the idea of being saved. And to that, I would ask you, what sin is so sweet that it's worth gambling eternity over? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed this afternoon. And if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, man, don't let the person next to you keep you from doing that. Don't let somebody, what somebody might think, keep you from doing that. Don't let your reputation keep you from doing that. Man, won't you repent and place your faith and trust in Christ? Mark 7:21-23 says, from within the heart, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. It's from within. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all else. Who can know it? The invitation is twofold this morning. Number one, if you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, do it today. Today is a day of salvation. It's the single greatest decision you'll ever make. If you've never made that decision, hear me clearly. Right now, you are under the condemnation of God. But Jesus wants to save you. Number two, if you have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, would you join me and others praying that God will set a fire in our soul that we'll be willing to lay down our life across the highway of life and go, hey, bridge is out. Let me tell you how you can turn around and be saved. Surrender your heart and life to Him. Beg folks, won't you be saved? Even this week, you have a great opportunity. A lot of folks, man, they circle Easter Sunday, and I know we laugh and we tend to poke fun, all that sort of thing about some folks who be in churches on Sunday, and that's the only time you ever see them. You know what? Man, maybe God will use it. Folks are looking, they're thinking about going to church. Won't you invite somebody this week? Man, may God set a fire in our bones that will be passionate for the gospel and for the things of God, because people are condemned right now. No, a loving God does not send people to hell. Choosing their own sin is what sends people to hell. And we need to communicate that there's one who loves them that'll set them free and save them if they'll let him. And if that's you today, hear me clearly. There's a God who loves you, and he'll set you free from all your past, present, and future sin. Man, he'll save you if you'll let him. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the clarity of the gospel, the simplicity of repenting and believing. I pray, God, you give folks right now. God, I pray that right now, folks in this room who don't know you, I pray they would repent and believe on you, Jesus. And that, God, you would give them boldness, courage, strength. And if that's you this morning, say, Pastor Chris, I've never surrendered my heart and life to Jesus, and I need to do it today. I'm under conviction, and I've got to do it today. Then I would encourage you, just pray right where you're at. Ask God to save you. Ask him to forgive you and be the boss and master of your life. I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer, but understand this. Words of a prayer have never saved anybody. It's attitude of your heart. The Bible says, man, you'll call out on him. He knows our hearts. Surrender everything to him and he'll save you. You may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. I pray in Jesus' name. You remain in attitude of prayer. In just a moment, I'm going to pray again. And here's the invitation. If you prayed that prayer just then, I'm inviting you to come. Say, Brother Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me today. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. Ask God to give you strength and courage. So as soon as I pray, in just a moment, you step out and you come. Don't let what anybody else may think or say hinder you. If you're sitting next to me, they'll let you slide out. For those of us that are believers, when I finish praying, my hope and prayer is that we'll come get on this altar and beg God for him to set a fire in our bones. Beg God that he'll place people in our path that we may get to share the gospel. Beg God that our friends and our family may come to know him, that they'll repent and believe. So when I finish praying, you come. God in heaven, I pray for boldness for those that prayed and asked you to save them today. God, I pray you give them grace and strength to step out and come forward. God, I pray for those of us that are believers that, God, you dealt with our heart this morning, God, through conviction or challenging us. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to take that step of faith and obedience. God, I pray that you would give us boldness to come and man, just to pour our heart out to you, Lord Jesus. Not coming saying that we have this all figured out, but asking you to do in us what only you can. God, you be glorified in these next few moments together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You remain in the attitude of prayer. God spoke to your heart. You come get on this altar. And you prayed about salvation. Come. So, Brother Chris, I prayed this morning. You come.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Lay a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask our men if they'll begin to take their place so that we can take up the offering as we leave today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. Again, remind you about a couple things. First of all, take one of those yard signs that are leaned up next to the door there and place those in your yard this week and invite neighbors and friends to come be a part of our Easter services. Next Sunday morning, all of our regular kind of Sunday morning schedule will take place. Don't forget about the pictures. I'll send that information out to you. Also, I forgot to mention earlier, on Saturday from 1 to 3, we have some invites, some Easter invites, and it's been a while since we've canvassed our neighborhood. So I want to encourage you, if you're physically able to, from 1 to 3 o'clock next Saturday, we're going to come. And we're just going to get out in our neighborhood and invite folks, pray over our community, and pray that God will work in a great way and use Easter Sunday for His glory. And so I want to encourage you to come be a part of that. That is Saturday, 1 to 3 o'clock. We'll meet right here and go from here, okay? All right, let's stand together and continue to pray for Silas and Kelsey and Tyler. And again, no baby shower this afternoon. If you want to leave a gift, you can do that at the table, or you can bring it by the office this week. It'll be just fine too, okay? All right, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here, and see you Wednesday night, okay? Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. Thank you, God, that you did all that you could, and that we may have salvation. God, thank you for your son, Jesus. And I pray, God, as a result of our life and testimony, that more people would believe in your son, Jesus. And God, I pray you'd use us this week. Help us to be a light and a witness. I pray, God, you would use the offering. And God, you bless it, multiply it, and use it for your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever. Salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus come.